The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back. It's Beyond the Box Score. I'm Dan Schneier. That's Jacob Gibbs. And today is a good day. You might ask why Jacob Gibbs is a good day, because today is the player profile for the player I was never been more convicted on during the draft season than Drake May. Since his first game at UNC, I remember texting my co-host Nick Filato and saying, this is the guy. This is the true prince who is promised. And I've never been stronger in that conviction. Now people probably told me, slow down on the tweets, Dan. You're supposed to be covering the Giants fantasy football. Why is every tweet about Drake May? And then I say, go watch the tape, and you'll see exactly why. Was the tape as good for you as it was for me, Jacob? Because in watching him back-to-back with Caleb Williams, we'll get into why. But I think as of right now, there is one quarterback who's truly ahead of the other.
Oh, yeah, man, for sure. I mean, I may have tweeted about Drake May as much or more than during his rookie season, because every single week I was tweeting out, like, any play he made at all that was cool, because they were just, yeah, he's so much fun to watch. He's been so good. He took another step forward in year two. He was even better than he was in year one. In year one, you and I were just amazed at how much he was doing with so little around him.
Right.
Right. Even with, I mean, who the heck was his top receiver on that team? Pop Douglas or something? Like, am I forgetting somebody? Even without Hunter Henry, like, was his top target? Like, there's very little on that rookie Patriots team. The line was a problem as well. And the coaching staff pretty much immediately got canned. it was about as bad as it gets for a rookie to get dropped into a situation like that. I mean, Caleb, you could say, was worse, but like the difference between the two was night and day. And then year two, he gets plugged into, you know, actual competent situation. And right away, he's an MVP candidate. He's so good. A stat that I have that really just illustrates the difference between the 2 years and the circumstances was he was QB 30 in passer rating when targeting his first read as a rookie, QB 30. Last year, he was QB 1 when targeting his first read. So that's per data.fantasypoints.com. That's the resource there. So that's a Josh McDaniels stat. That's obviously a Drake May stat. And that's even like a Stephon Diggs stat. It was a big step forward, I thought, from Kayshon Boutte last year, who's the first read on some of these plays. And so now we add A.J. Brown to the equation, who had a down year last year, but has the potential to bounce back. We've seen him be one of the most dominant first read players in the league, because he can win routes and then he can also go get that ball, you know, and Drake May will put it out there with anticipation in a place where A.J. Brown can get to it. So I'm very excited for that pairing. The stat that I have here that just blows my mind is that Drake May is fourth in success rate. Drop back success rate. And so scrambling definitely helps with this. Fourth in success rate since entering the league. Insane for a player this young. The players who are above him are Joe Burrow, who's just king of success rate, accuracy king and everything. And then you've got Purdy and Stafford being boosted by their play callers and everything. Goff, and then Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, all below him. That's just a crazy stat for a rookie. And you don't, even if a rookie comes onto the scene and is really, really good, like Jaden Daniels, for example, lights it up, you don't expect this type of success rate, this type of consistency. That's kind of what this stat measures, is consistency, play to play. And it's just been phenomenal from May. That's one of the things that's really stood out from him, like UNC to the pros.
Right.
People got really irritated with the accuracy, consistency, with him trying to do too much, taking big shots, putting the ball in harm's way. And to see him right away come in and buy in,
yes,
be willing to to check down, be willing to make the right play and not force it, and live to fight another day and then make the big play when it's needed, has been really, really, really impressive for a guy who's still so young and early in his development arc.
And we can get into the why of that. Like, how is he able to do it? Because I have some notes from my film on what he does that separates him as a quarterback. But I really think it's important for you to really contextualize, or us to contextualize, what that means. We see a lot of these quarterbacks go from year one to year two and struggle. It goes the opposite route more times than not. The vast majority of the quarterbacks have a much worse year two than year one, because defenses, we've always heard this, but defense coordinators say, give me eight games of tape and an offseason on a quarterback, and I'll fool him and I'll solve him. We've seen it with Jaden Daniels, Davis Mills, the lower extent. I mean, CJ Stroud, the list goes on and on. These cases, when it's the Drake May version, when it goes from QB 30 to QB 1 in first read, pass rating, all these things, all the numbers that we saw jump with Drake May, it truly usually means that we're looking at one of the special players in the NFL of an era. And I do believe Drake May will be one of the best players in this era.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I mean, I know people are going to kind of make fun of May after how the season ended.
Right.
But to me, getting to the freaking Super Bowl, say what you will about the schedule and everything, that's really...
The roster wasn't that good, too, by the way.
For a rookie, for sure. Yeah, the run game was pretty bad most of the year.
The line was okay at best.
Yeah.
The defense is okay talent-wise at best.
A stat that I wanted to point to that I think is really important with May is his ability and willingness to attack the middle of the field. And this is something that was...
Yep, that's what it is.
Evident in college, and is translated really well. So these passes are 31% more efficient in terms of EPA than throws to the sideline. And we've seen some of these other young quarterbacks recently struggle to translate their game, what they did in college, to the NFL level, where defenses are giving them these throws and kind of daring them to attack them over the middle of the field. May has been willing to do that and has done it well. If you look here, he's in a group of quarterbacks that are balanced passers who attack both the middle and the side areas of the field. And his rates look really similar in terms of tendencies to Dak Prescott, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford. That's what you freaking love to see when you're talking about a quarterback who, oh yeah, looks the type, looks the prototype in terms of like built in a lab, like has the legs, is 6'4", has the huge arm, has everything that you want really at the position. And then he also has everything you want between the ears. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like, this is probably one of the best players in the league for a long time, and for fantasy as well. Just, it's going to be interesting. Typically we see rushing sort of taper off as, right, as quarterbacks get later into their career. But at least in year two, we did not really see that. So I've got Drake May's profile up here. You see the massive fantasy season, 352 PPR points. Almost an identical scramble rate to year one, 10%. More designed rushing. They really didn't let him do that at all as a rookie, but he did get 20 designed runs last year, and he finishes with 450 rushing yards and 4 touchdowns on 100 rush attempts. So that's all what you like to see at the position. I just did an episode with Ryan Heath where we looked specifically at, we called it like cheat codes, like what data is predictive to future fantasy scoring. And I think that this is important because honestly, I'm a little surprised that Drake May is not just QB1 or QB2 in fantasy. People are pushing Lamar ahead of him. I've seen Jaden Daniels be drafted ahead of him. I've even seen Caleb Williams ahead of him in people's rankings. And I don't really get that. I know that the schedule was easy last year, but he has exactly the recipe that you want for fantasy production. And then you watch the film and it's totally legit, man. I've been putting cutups on my Twitter of every single quarterback throwing deep, and I just think his is the best, and it's really not that close.
By far the best. It's crazy.
So yeah, on this episode with Ryan, we looked at the stats that are most predictive and a future scoring. And there were three quarterbacks who hit 80th percentile or better in each of the top 5 stats. And those three quarterbacks were Josh Allen, Drake May, and Jalen Hurts. Rushing is really important. And so unless you expect things to like really change with May's rushing, I think we're set up for another really big year, and it could even be better. I mean, if I don't think we can necessarily expect, so deep passing fluctuates a lot. I don't know if we can necessarily expect that to sustain at such a ridiculously effective and efficient clip. Like, he was so money on those throws, not just on film, but like statistically converting them at a really, really high rate. And that can fluctuate year to year. So like, I guess that could be a path of regression. He's not perfect. So like maybe defenses key on some of the things that worked last year. We saw him obviously kind of get stymied at times in games at the end of the year. Maybe there are some things that can be done to affect him. His pressure to sack rate has not been solved for him yet. Like that's something we would like to see improve. He's had one of the worst rates in the league. So maybe taking too many sacks or maybe fumbling on those plays, like putting the ball in harm's way or whatever, like gets him into more drive killing situations. And we just don't see such a good year from the offense. But really like outside of just kind of vague guesses at regression coming, like I feel really, really good about it again, which is why I have him at QB2. Josh Allen is the only one I have ranked ahead of him. And if you want to draft Drake May ahead of him, that's fine with me. I don't think you or I are going to be drafting quarterback this early very often.
Unfortunately not.
But if it's Drake May, man, if Drake May's fallen, like sometimes these top guys go in like round 5 or 6 and depending on the draft that you're in, you know? And if I'm in a draft room where Drake May's there in round 6, I'm probably just freaking smashing that.
I wonder if you actually are when push comes to shove in the draft. I know ideally you might. You consider yourself as someone who might do it. It's just so tough in the spot in one quarterback leagues to do it. But the reality is we're talking about this relative to the position. And I'm with you. And I didn't ultimately think I would be because the schedule is so different this year. And that matters to me. They're facing just a completely new set of teams that are just going to be posing new challenges. But I think the reality is I think he's good enough to beat these teams. Now, you mentioned a bunch there that I wanted to unpack from just my film review of May. And one thing I did want to unpack first was you said, what if teams get a beat on him? Because I did mention earlier, you know, usually it's year one to year two when you want to see that transition. And once you get through year two, it's usually like a little more easy sledding from that point, right? Like Joe Burrow, some of the best quarterbacks of all time, once they've passed through that second year, they haven't really regressed from that point on. They've kind of been on either a steady track or the same pace. So will that happen for May? I did see one style of defense that I thought gave him the most trouble. And I'll point to a game early in the year. It was the first one you had me watch. It was week 3 against the Steelers. And I thought their game plan for May, and I saw this a little bit in the playoffs, made the most sense, which is essentially like, we're willing to use single high off early. We want to, you know, sometimes we'll rotate into a split safety look from a single high look at the start of the snap, like pre-snap, and we'll rotate. But for the most part, we're going to stay in single high. We'll shade to one side of the field at times, but mostly we're playing one eye safety. We're playing around line scrimmage and then just try to speed his clock up because that's what Pittsburgh did. And at the beginning of that game, the Steelers-Patriots game from last year, it worked, man. Like they sped him up. They got him out of rhythm. You saw it like the quick game, the first read stuff, it was off time. It was May kind of rushing into it. There were the first few possessions of that game were really a struggle because I felt like they did a great job of speeding his clock up and not just sitting in a split safety look and letting him pick you apart because he will do that. He throws with too much anticipation, you can't play like you can. Some teams have tried it, but it doesn't work. But eventually, even that didn't really work because throughout the rest of that game, start to see special plays from him. Because what makes the difference for me with May, which is the reason I think like even if teams do have like a unique game plan, they try to speed up his clock, get him kind of off kilter early, you're never going to be able to take away what he does best, which is the anticipatory throwing. And to me, that's really what makes him special. He can hit a 20-yard seam for a 20-yard gain to Kayshon Booty on a third level inbreaker, like the fourth progression I watched in this game on 3rd and 13. Third level inbreaker between sagging linebacker and a safety. There was really no window, but his ability to layer the football, that's the difference. Like I was going back and forth watching the May and Caleb Williams tape to prepare for those podcasts that we've done, Jacob, this one and the one we did before. And I'm like, yes, Caleb has the best natural arm talent in the NFL in the sense of like he can put something on a line at such a high speed with so much accuracy that it can get there so fast. But what he doesn't do as well as May is layer the football over that. Like when you have a second and third level of the defense and you have that little short area, that really small margin for error, you have to get it over that linebacker's hand, but in between where the safety is going to be. That's something May does, in my opinion, better than anyone that we've watched so far. Now we've watched six quarterbacks, the three rookies and then these three, but I don't know how many players at the NFL level do it better than him. And it's what makes it special, because you'll see, you know, he'll throw a ball up the seam to Hunter Henry in between the safety and the trailing linebacker in coverage. Or he'll, like I say, hit that deep over on the fourth person in his progression, a Kayshon Booty. And really, ultimately, no matter what you do defensively from a schematic standpoint, I'm not sure there's going to be an answer for a player like this. So to me, I actually think this is the best arm talent, not Caleb Williams, which is weird because Caleb is a much more powerful thrower and he can drive the ball to spots. But the way that Drake May can change trajectory on a variety of passes, whether it be over the top or, like I said, those in breakers, which he's best in the NFL at, with the combination of his anticipatory throwing, like he throws it to the spot where the receiver is going to be, not where he is at that time. That to me makes, in my mind, is what arm talent is really all about.
Yeah, he's different from Caleb in that he can make a wider variety of throws, I think,
yeah.
Right? Whereas, like, I do think Caleb just has the arm to make a few select special throws that even May doesn't quite have.
Agreed.
So they're just different, in my opinion, but I think it's fair to view it the way that you do. I do wonder on some of those throws with May if variance comes into play there, this is kind of a nebulous way to think about this, but if we just kind of saw like an 80th or 90th percentile outcome for May over a relatively small sample size of those throws that are in essence are kind of, they're hit or miss. Like they, in terms of like dropping it in the bucket in between defenders, it's like that kind of has to be the perfect throw. Right. And if it's like off just a little bit, it's incomplete. And if it's off a lot, then it's an interception. And we saw during the playoffs, some of that popping up where it's like, what the hell was that throw?
Yeah. In that Steelers game I referenced, there was one overthrow. We kind of tried to fit it into a window and it turned into an interception. Yep. Yeah. You're right.
So I think that could be something that we see fluctuate a bit year to year. I mean, I hate talking about it, but what the hell's going on with Patrick Mahomes? Dan likes to ask me every couple of months if I have an answer, and I'm
still wondering.
Other than like maybe it's just an extended stretch of running cold on trying to make difficult throws, like trying to drop into a bucket that's flipped over most of the time because the receiver's never freaking open. I don't know. I just wanted to bring that up because it's like it's pretty easy to talk about Drake May and just paint him as the Messiah or whatever. But like there are some ways where it could go awry a little bit. But man, I feel as good as I remember feeling about a young quarterback, other than I guess Mahomes early in his career. But honestly, this sounds crazy. I feel like he's been more consistent than Mahomes early in his career. Like he just, it's like Mahomes where it's like, you shouldn't, and it's crazy because he's doing it earlier in his career. Mahomes had the first year to watch and learn. Mahomes' first year, I just couldn't believe how often he was showing up and making the right play. Plus he had all the crazy plays.
Right.
And May is like doing that without Tyreek and Andy Reid and Travis Kelce and everything, you know, like he's making,
May is making more of those plays, but yeah. I would hate to, like, early career Patrick Mahomes could stretch the field like no quarterback I've ever watched.
Yeah. I'm talking about just consistency and just being like being able to make the chain moving plays over and over and over, which again, that success rate.
To be fair, we know for future reference, Jacob, because I do ask you this 17 times a month, whenever I do ask you the Mahomes question, like what happened to Mahomes, it's mostly that. It's like the arm talent, like where did the arm go? Because I used to see a guy who would just throw it all areas of the field with incredible accuracy and velocity, and it's just like, and now I watch him throw deep and it's like most of the time bad. I don't even understand how that could happen, but maybe it is variance. I don't know. That's another question for another day.
Last thought on May. I just looked up his stats, his charting when throwing in rhythm. Because obviously he has the ability to make these amazing throws we've seen, but I wanted to look at it, and when throwing in rhythm, which is throws that came 2.5 to 3 seconds, after the snap of the football, which I think is important for him because he likes to hold onto the ball. Like you said, like they're in that Pittsburgh game, like they tried to speed him up. His time to throw on the year was 2.8 seconds, which was the sixth highest in the league. He likes to hold on to the ball and then scramble if need be and everything, like read out defenses and see what's going to be there. But when throwing in rhythm, he was really good. So top five in accuracy. That's especially noteworthy because his average depth of target was 11 yards. When throwing in rhythm, which is also one of the five highest marks in the league. And so, I mean, as average depth of target goes up, of course, accuracy kind of goes down, but not really for Drake May. He's just that good, man. Yeah, I think I am fine drafting him. We'll see. Obviously, we're very, very early in thinking about fantasy drafts. But to me, man, he is a special player. I feel really, really good about having Drake May as my most rostered quarterback for Dynasty Fantasy Football. I'm just bragging at this point. But it does feel good, man. It does feel good. That's why you tune in and listen to Beyond the Box Score so that we can put you on Drake May. Yeah, tune in and check out the rest of these episodes if you have not yet. Tyler Shuck, Jackson Dart, Malik Willis. Like, there's a lot of really interesting things to think about right now at the quarterback position. And then, of course, how that's all going to trickle down to the pass catchers and the rest of the league. Man, I can't wait. Have you been doing fantasy mock drafts with the boys? I haven't gotten in one because I've been traveling, but have you been in there with Jamie and the boys?
A little bit. It's been a little bit different this year with obviously more Beyond the Box Score responsibilities, but I'm getting more back into it. I would say within the next 2 weeks, we're going to start drafting 2-3 times a week. So it's exciting times.
Love it. Good stuff.
All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Go ahead, Jacob. Wrap us up.
No, thank you for being here, Dan. Good to see you. I haven't been able to see you as much while I've been on vacation. As you can see, I'm recording from a freaking hotel here, but about to get home and about to lock in. I'm really excited for that. I'm really excited to talk to you about the rest of these quarterbacks. We got profiles coming out on Trevor Lawrence for sure.
Yes.
Excited to get into that one. Got a Colson Loveland profile as well that's going to hit YouTube soon. So thank you all for being here. Please do hit subscribe if you have not. I really appreciate you being here, liking the video, commenting and all that, and we'll see you at the next one.
The price of gas right now is crazy. No, it's not crazy? The price of Paramount Plus. Stream new series like Dutton Ranch, returning favorites like The Agency, and live sports like UFC. Paramount Plus, $0.99 per month for the first 2 months. Stream now.